Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, December 21st, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Happy solstice, everyone. Here we are at yet another change of the seasons. Depending on where you live, the winter or summer solstice is upon us, and regardless the relentless march of time, there is something about the changing of the seasons that I find very comforting. Just think, before you know it, we'll be welcoming the equinox. I love the predictability of it all. This show also marks the end of the 2011 edition of my podcasts. We'll be on holiday for the next couple of weeks, don't you know? Podcasts will resume on Monday, January 9th, 2012, with a brand spanking new Q&A show. To see us to the door today, so to speak, I am delighted to welcome back my friend, Mac McGregor. He is a trans man, author, activist, gender and sex educator, world-class martial artist, and Seattle City Commissioner. He returns for part two of his appearance on this, the Sex Wisdom series. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our conversation, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my shows in the podcast archive on drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the site's search function in the header, type in podcast number 313, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Mac invites you to visit him on his site, lovingatrans.blogspot.com. But that's not all. He's also on Facebook and Twitter, too. Look for those links in today's podcast posting on my site. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh, so informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Mac McGregor, thanks for coming back to DrDickSexAdvice.com and being my very special guest, don't you know?
Oh, thank you. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yay. So I'm still, you know, kind of reeling from our conversation last week, and we had such a good time together, and we seem to be on the same wavelength on so many issues. We were talking about sexuality and genitality and sexual orientation and stuff like that, and a brilliant conversation we have. So I'd like to pick up precisely where we left off last week. We were talking about cisgender, and you said that that's where humans, both male and female, who identify as male and female and also have the corresponding genitalia to go with their self-identification, correct?
Exactly.
Good,
yes.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the important lessons that I've learned about sex, sexuality, and gender is that almost none of this is binary. And despite what our culture tries to impress on us, that there's not just either or, gay or straight, him or her, not just one or the other. Do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, totally. There's a scale of all of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I think people are just afraid of that, again, because it makes people more comfortable if they can define something easier. They,
right.
You know, when you have that big scale, they don't know where
right.
to put you.
Yeah. And people find themselves, and this is the curious thing, because again, I see this so often here on Dr. Dick. People write to me and say, you know, I've been an inveterate heterosexual all of my life, and then all of a sudden I had this sexual awakening, and it scared the bejesus out of me. And and so, you know, at different periods in our life, we actually, you know, our sexuality grows and blossoms and blooms.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it true?
It's so true. You know, I'm convinced if more people would loosen up and have more experiences like that and good sex and not be so hung up, we'd have world peace.
Yes.
I really think we'd have world peace.
I do too. I totally do too. So you dropped a topic last week, a concept last week called genderqueer. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. What is that all about for our audience members who don't know?
Well, genderqueer is a newer term, and it's a term that people are using now that don't want to be identified on either end of the scale. They consider themselves somewhere in the middle, maybe leaning a little to one side or the other, but
right.
they don't want to be, you know, put out on the end as
right.
either male or female.
Right. Interesting. And so they actually live their lives in that neutral territory, where you know, they dress ambiguously and relate as easily to one gender as the next.
Right. Many of them use both pronouns, or they choose to use neutral pronouns, either one. And
yeah.
and so nowadays, the best thing to do is, if you're not sure, is to ask someone, what pronouns do you prefer?
Yeah. Now, that sounds silly.
Yeah, that's just the safest
thing. It sounds silly, but it's really a good thing to do, you know? I mean...
Right. And it's because our language, and it's not, you know, our language isn't the only one. You know, many other languages do this, too. They have that same thing as we talked about with the pink-blue phenomenon.
Yeah.
Our language is very gender specific, and
yes.
it's very binary gender specific.
Yeah.
So again, it puts people in those extreme categories.
Right.
You know.
So speaking of language and vocabulary, I want to take a look at how our vocabulary has changed in recent years. In years past, we used to use the word transsexual. Now, the more proper term is transgender, and this is a hugely important transformation from my point of view. Would you care to weigh in on why this vocabulary has changed?
Sure. Transsexual was originated in the medical and psychological community, so
right.
it was a label given by the medical psychological community,
like
so,
homosexual.
Exactly. So it also didn't encompass people who are cross-dressers, drag queens, genderqueer, or non-conformist.
Mm-hmm.
We would say non-conformist.
I love
try
it.
To cover them all. You know, it only specifically identified people. And back then, you actually had to have surgery even.
Right.
I mean, they would consider you a transsexual, a full transsexual, until you had surgery.
Right. Interesting.
So,
and then it really all boiled down to just the issue of sexuality. That's you know the problem again with homosexual, you know, as a word, because I mean it boils down everything to, you know, a question of sexuality, and it seems to me that I'm much more than that.
Yes, you are.
See how
Which
you
is
are.
Exactly why you're going to give my girls a run for their money.
Oh dear, I'm blushing.
Yeah.
So, what about the term trainee? I gather that some in the community consider this a real pejorative term.
Yeah, there are some people that do take offense to it. I don't, and I also know many people who don't take offense to it. So, you
right.
know, that's one of those that you probably should be careful who you're around before you use it.
Right. Right.
Transgender is much safer to use, and
right.
I mean, if it's a friend of yours that you know is cool, then using that term is fine.
Yeah. But
yeah.
It shouldn't be the first thing out of your mouth.
I would not recommend.
Like poor Dan Savage has been glitter bombed twice in recent weeks.
Dan gets away with a lot. Yeah. Or he doesn't care if he gets away with it or not.
It's so true. So lots of people think that gender dysphoria is caused by trauma and or abuse. But I'm assuming that that's a misconception, right?
Well, I certainly consider it a misconception. You know, I mean, there are still people that think, being homosexual is caused by something that happened in your childhood, you know,
or
as well.
Or the devil. That's the most recent thing, is that the devil somehow has had, you know, an impact on our mother's wombs. Wow, scary.
Could it be Satan? Remember the church lady.
Satan?
Yes.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. They give the devil a lot of credit, you know, that's what I have to say. I think it's amazing. No, the devil didn't do it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that.
Yes.
I don't think he's that creative.
I don't, nor do I, to tell you the truth.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how long had you a sense of being a man despite an outward appearances of being a woman? You said last week that, you know, this goes all the way back to your early childhood.
It does. It goes back to my childhood. And I was, like I said, raised in the South, so I did have... It's amazing how much is wrapped up in hair. This is one thing I have to say, I did have the long hair. For a lot of years, I didn't cut my hair. I didn't actually cut my hair until I turned 40.
Wow.
And the real reason I cut my hair was because I had this little, you know, trauma about turning 40. And
wait till you get to 60,
someone said to me, you know, you'll look... Yeah. Someone said to me, you know, you'll look younger if you cut your hair, because long hair, as you're getting older, makes you look older. And so I ran right to the beauty shop and had my hair chopped off.
So it's vanity.
Well, I'm totally, yeah, I have a lot of vanity about my hair. I admit it.
Well, you
got I'll even tell
you
the truth, how vain I am about my hair. When I was going through the whole beginning of transition, you know, the biggest thing I was afraid of is if I take testosterone, a lot of trans men lose their hair,
yes,
or their
right,
hair recedes, or,
right,
you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So
look at mine, for example. Oh, my God. It receded to, like, Cleveland.
That's not such a big city.
And it can stay there for all I care.
Yeah. If anything of mine went to Cleveland, I don't think I'd go after it.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yikes.
But I did the research, you know, and I had to find out about, well, how do you know, and what makes this happen, and it comes to find out that it's all about your mother's side of the family.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, well, yeah, I didn't meet my dad till I was 25, but when I met him, he had quite the receding hair, and so I was a little, you know, leery of that. But then on my mom's side, all my uncles, everybody, great-grandfather, all those people died with a full head of hair.
Wow.
So I was like, whoo! I can take this testosterone and not worry about that. Yeah,
right.
It's good. Yeah.
So was there a breaking point in your life when you said, you know, enough of this woman stuff, you know, I'm going to, you know, liberate myself?
Well, you know, a couple of things happened. Like I said, I had researched it. I just didn't have anyone to talk to until
I moved here.
And I moved here a little over 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so I started right away as soon as I could finding, and I found Ingersoll Gender Center and had people I could talk to then,
uh-huh,
which was great. My grandparents had both passed away,
uh-huh,
right a little before I moved here, and to me that gave me a lot of freedom.
Well, I see. Got it.
Yeah, you know, that family thing. I mean, they were loving and supportive.
Yes, I understand.
That's quite a stretch, you know. You know.
For Southern folk.
No kidding, yeah. So, that was difficult, but I just felt a new freedom and also felt like, okay, I'm done living for everybody else. That's another thing that kind of happened in my 30s.
Yeah.
Is that I came to a point where, hey, you know, I've been taking care of everybody else, being kind of a lot for everybody else, and I'm ready to shed all of that.
Yeah.
And this is my time.
Yeah.
And so I got to to just examine where I really wanted to be and who I was, and I love it.
Right.
And even my therapist, when you asked about gender dysphoria, my therapist said to me, it was really interesting, she said, you know, I have to give you a diagnosis for insurance purposes.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was going to her specifically,
yes.
you know, for this.
Yes.
And she, for transition, and she said, but you are the most secure person
right.
and know who you are more
yeah.
than most anybody I've ever worked with,
yeah.
and it's a ridiculous diagnosis.
Yeah. But it's funny, you know, that we have to pathologize something that doesn't need to be pathologized.
Exactly. It's just who we are.
Yeah. And then, but in order... You know, for the you know the money to kick in or the insurance or whatever, it's just so strange. I mean, it just
yeah,
it really is so messed up. Oh my goodness, for goodness
oh, it
sake.
Is.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I mean, I constantly remind myself because you know I am quite the activist. I constantly remind myself how far we've come.
Yeah. And you know that's one of the things that you know just
you know,
so impresses me about you is that you know despite all the bullshit nonsense. Crapola stuff that is out there. I mean, you really have this wonderful, upbeat sense about things.
Yeah, I love life, and to me, it's a big adventure, and I love. I focus on the positive. There's positive in everything.
Right.
And I mean, actually, like I said, I do feel like I'm in the promised land. Yeah, we still have a lot to fight for here
right.
and to work for in human rights
right.
even in Seattle and Washington, but where I'm from, oh my gosh, and even where I'm from, I mean when I was a kid a black person couldn't marry a white person.
I know.
You know, know, so look at where we've come.
Yes, it's so it's true, and you know, when I remind myself of that I don't get so bummed out, but there's certainly lots of stuff to bum me out, I gotta tell you.
Oh yeah. Well, like I have a, you know, I spoke yesterday at the Human Rights Equal Rights Washington had a big rally for United for Marriage.
Yes.
And two very dear friends of mine who you've probably seen, Petey and Jane.
Yes.
They've been on all the they are beautiful people who when I first moved here I met them and I had, like I said, lost my grandparents.
Yes.
And these two women took me in and I consider them now like my grandparents. And
wow.
I just adore them. I just
they were in that
them.
Movie,
you know?
What was it? In-laws or
yes. Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful women. Oh, remarkable.
And they their dream is before they die to be able to legally get married here.
Yes.
You know, now that just, if something gets to me, those two have been together 35 years,
yeah.
love each other,
yeah.
have paid taxes, raised
yeah.
a kid, why
yeah.
can't they get married?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I want to be there for that.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about transgendered folks and sex work, because that's such an important part of how most people come in contact with transgendered people. They see ads like in the back of the Stranger or Seattle Weekly or you know the alternative newspapers, and I'm fairly attuned to you know the number of male to female transgender folks who are sex workers, not so much the female to male transgender sex workers.
Yeah, there aren't many. There definitely aren't as many. But what is really sad and what I would like to really call attention to here, I'm actually working on a project right now called STEEP, which is Seattle's Transgendered Employment Empowerment Program. 24%, there's 24% unemployment in the people of color
right.
group. And in transgender people, there's 39%
Yikes.
Unemployment.
Yikes.
It's crazy. And, you know, so many people are discriminated against just because of who they are.
Yes.
In the workplace or, you know, not given the job, not given the promotion,
right.
all kinds of things.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm actually working with the city and Ingersoll Gender Center and the commission to help, you know, we're going to help do some things like training and to
how grand.
Help. Yeah.
So what you're basically saying, and this is something that I've known for a long time, but you're basically saying that a lot of trans sex workers are working as sex workers not because they want to, but because they have to.
Yeah, because there's nothing else for them to do, and they're having a hard time getting a job. Now, I know it's hard on everybody right
yes,
now,
it's
but
true enough.
Just imagine having another strike or two against you, and
yes.
if you're transgendered, that's a big strike, and if you're transgendered and a person of color, oh
right.
my goodness.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You know, I don't think most people, there aren't a lot of people that choose sex work as their first choice. As the first, you know, that's what yep. I want to do in life, my career goal, you know.
It's so true. Yeah, it's true. It is. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
and yet,
you know,
they continue to be victimized by the popular culture, though, you know, thinking that this is, you know, a choice that they've made because, you know, they lack the gumption or the wherewithal or the backbone, you know, to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and make something
right.
of themselves. I mean, it's so ludicrous. We just
right.
have no concept at all.
No, no, we don't. No. You know, the single mom or the transgender person or the, you know, those are the type of people a lot of times that are forced to do that type of work.
Right. So let's quickly move on to your work as a Seattle City Commissioner. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I am now one of the co-chairs of Seattle's LGBT Commission. So we advise the city council and the mayor and sometimes go speak in Olympia as well about
wow.
issues that have to do with the LGBTQ community. We are the commission actually that helped just get the city to pass transgender health care for all city employees that starts next year.
Wow, that is so amazing.
For instance.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of good work being done, and you know, it's also exciting to be working in a city, and our commission is through the Office of Civil Rights here,
uh-huh.
and our Office of Civil Rights in the city of Seattle, other cities look at us as a leader and follow what we do,
right.
and it's really exciting to be a part of, like, you know, one of the two premier cities in the United States that people look at for civil rights.
Hmm. So, and this is all part of your... being an activist, and it's not just a trans activist. I mean, you're yeah. like a human activist. I mean, you're activating for humankind, and you know, and in its broadest sense, which to my mind is what we all ought really be trying to do.
I truly believe that.
Yeah. Gosh, let's. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how your activism, what shape that takes besides the city commission?
Oh, sure. I speak on gender panels all over the place, and I'm also a sexual educator now.
Ah.
So I speak on, you know, sex and help educate about polyamory,
mm-hmm.
educate about. Actually, I'm going to be a keynote speaker at the UW, and I'm. to the medical department, and I'm giving a speech on the joy of orgasms. And anyway, so I speak on.
I wish I could be a fly on that wall, honey.
Oh, you want to be my date? They wanted a non-medical perspective,
right.
You know.
How interesting. How
you wait till you see the PowerPoint I put together for that. Yeah, I love, you know, just helping people open their minds
right.
and to different concepts and just stretch a little bit
right.
About, you know, all this that they thought was gender or all this that they thought was sexuality and just getting them to stretch and see right. a different perspective.
Right. Gosh, no better person than you for that role, I can tell you. So, listen, before we conclude, I'd like to turn our attention to one area of special interest to me as a therapist. I often hear from kinksters and pervs, as well as your run-of-the-mill gay and lesbian folk, that they are often frustrated in their search for sex-positive and kink-positive healing and helping professionals. And I suppose that you are equally attuned to this pressing concern, right?
Oh, I am. I mean, sex positivity was a term I didn't hear until moving here, and
right.
and I think so many people have hang-ups around that because sex is not taught to us with right. with positivity.
Right. It's so true.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do, you know, sexual minorities, trans people, gay and lesbian, kinksters, pervs, do you have any advice on how they go about finding the healing and helping professionals they need?
Well, you know, we have, if you're in this area, we have an amazing resource with the Center for Sex Positive Culture.
So true.
And there are classes there on almost everything under the sun that you could think of. And I would recommend, you know, looking at their calendar, talking to them about something you'd be interested in, because you right. can go take a class. A lot of times they have discussion groups on different things as mm-hmm. well, and it's a great resource.
Yes, absolutely.
There are also
totally
therapists,
agree.
Many therapists like yourself, that that can help people. And I just think you need to reach out. There are also support groups like
yes.
Ingersoll Gender Center.
Right.
We just have a, you know, such an amazing network of support here, mm-hmm. in this area that, you know, sorry to say that a lot of cities don't have.
Yeah,
this.
It's so true. It really is so true.
Right. But you know, those people that don't live right here can connect at least on the internet and yeah. talk to people. That's
right.
the beauty of that.
Yes, that's so true. And that's why people like myself, you know, and other sex positive therapists, you know, have you know, broadened our practice to include people from all over the globe. If you have an internet connection, you can be talking to Dr. Dick.
Right. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And thank you for the work you do.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, sir. Before we go, would you give us your website address again and walk us around and let us know what we can find there?
Sure. www.shihanmcgregor.com. You'll find stuff about my martial arts background. I was on the U.S. karate team and a world champion martial artist, and classes I teach in, you know, all about martial arts and self-defense and energy work, as well as at classes and workshops I teach on gender and sexuality and all kinds of fun subjects. So you'll find that. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a blog. I'm on Twitter, McKick on Twitter.
We're going to have all those links in our in the postings, the podcast postings. So yes, sir, Bob.
And I am very open to talk to people who, because just like I said, I was the person who had nobody to talk to
right.
about this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And so what went around comes around. Good for you. And that's why it's been so wonderful spending so much time with you. You're so generous, you know, with your time, and we are the richer for the experience.
Thank you.
Well, my friend, until we chat again, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Be well. Give my best to the ladies, and we'll be chatting soon.
Well, since you didn't specify, I'll give your best and mine to all the ladies.
All righty. Yay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Be well.
All right, you too.
Bye. A great show. What a way to end the year. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next time on Monday, January 9th, 2012, where I'll be having a brand spanking new Q&A show ready for you, and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. So remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? One more thing before we conclude. I want to make sure that you know about my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it is so easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick review crew review all kinds of adult-related goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is drdicksextoyreviews.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.